Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In the dark, I play my dream. Permaculture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the nose.
Welcome to episode 351 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living.
Permaculture PIMP with soulful grace in the PIMP cast where we find our place.
Oh, yeah. Good to be here, y'all. Oh, man. Okay, as you know, we're probably not seeing us on the regular permaculture. On the Permapastures Farm channels, and we've talked about that before. So the ones that missed it last week, we were basically put into a two-week timeout. Yeah, two-week timeout because we had a guest on from Cultivate Elevate who actually talked about the benefits of eating seeds. I kid you not, folks. That's exactly... So they're looking for everything humanly possible. So from here on out, we're going to do it on, we'll be broadcasting on the Permaculture Pimpcast YouTube channel, William's channel, which is the permaculture consultant. And then over on X won't even though I was paying for it, they won't even let me broadcast over there. Yeah. So we're persona non grata, huh? Yeah, maybe because we're talking about some things they don't want you to know about. But hey, episode 351, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Soil saviors. Yeah, that's how we're fixing up Western North Carolina, along with our BioComplete compost. And there's a number of people out there that purchase some. Look, if you want some, it'll be in the show descriptions. Or you can go to our website, and it'll give you a link to go get over there. So, yeah, lots of good stuff going on there. I plan on doing some videos about how we go about using it and how we work it out in the methods that we're using. But as you well know, we don't have a YouTube channel right now. So I was just going to go ahead and put it on Rumble, but it seems like I better go ahead and wait and let everybody, you know, see it out there because it looks like they're looking for anything to take us out. Anyway. I want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat, particularly Renewed Homestead, for handling the conversations out there. Seems like every time Denise isn't here, man, somebody starts tripping in the chat. And because we're, you know, I'm balancing too much here. I can't monitor the chat. I can catch a conversation here and there, but not much. And so you know the deal. Don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. And if anybody wants any of those shirts, go check out Eric Sider. Oh, shoot. Actually, I don't have the name of that website. And obviously, it'll be linked to the show here where you can go get those T-shirts. Anyway, so we'll just go ahead and start off with the show here. We're going to do the show this time that we were supposed to do on Monday, but we didn't really get into it because I may have went a little sideways on. I'm going to stay focused today, y'all. No doubt about it. So I'm not going to go sideways. All right. So I'll start off. We went to Gatlinburg on Tuesday. My best friend, we've been best friends ever since we were in, high school, man. We took all the same classes together. We went to the Army together. We joined the electrical union together. We did everything together. And then I decided to get up out of Oklahoma for a whole variety of reasons. And so anyway, we're still thick as molasses pie to these days. But anyway, he was out in Gatlinburg, he and his wife. So we went out there. We saw your Uncle Dion and a white guy.
He left Oklahoma? He left Oklahoma?
Yeah, son, there's something going on with your sound. I don't know what's going on there. It sounds like you're overdriven. I'm not sure if it's just coming through, but It's like you're too close on the mic and you're too loud for some reason. But anyway, yeah. Well, no, they leave Oklahoma from time to time. They go traveling and they do a bunch of things. But anyway, they were over in Gatlinburg. And despite the workload we have over here, I wasn't going to pass up the opportunity to go see them. So we got to hang out for a couple of hours, eat lunch. They're on their anniversary. And so instead of going to Rome or something like that, decided to go to Gatlinburg. And then they went to Chattanooga right when that storm hit, the latest geoengineered storm, I'm sure, hit Chattanooga. And they went down there for that. So who knows? They may have gotten more than they bargained for. But anyway, the cool thing about going to Gatlinburg, look, I'm not much for these tourist kind of places and stuff like that. It's really not my cup of tea. But they do have an aquarium. So I will be taking my grandbaby there next time I see her. So they do have an aquarium. They got sharks and all kinds of stuff. So she ought to be digging that. You think she'll like it, yeah. Son?
Oh, yeah. How's my audio now?
It's better. Yeah, a whole lot better. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So
yeah, she loves aquariums. She loves that the fish, like unlike zoos and stuff, she loves that the fish are stuck there. Like they can't go anywhere and she can just stare at them and rediscover the same fish over and over again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, so we got a place we could take the grandbaby. Man, no zoos really close by, at least none that have all the animals I want her to see. Like she makes this growl whenever, you know, she'll put up her hands too when she gets excited enough. Like I'll say, "Hey, baby, what does a lion sound like?" And she'll make this growl, and then with like a big lion, rah! She'll put her hands in the air in the whole 9 yards. So she's the little cutest thing ever. But yeah. Anyway, we did discover they do have an aquarium out there, so that'll be cool to take her to. Other things going on around here, getting rain every single day. And William, you had a little theory on that.
Yeah, I think they're doing the same thing they did last year right before Hurricane Helene, and they're pre-saturating the ground, making sure that the ground is soaked up as much water as it can possibly soak up. So next time there's a heavy rain event, one that stands still and drops the equivalent of 2 Niagara Falls in a single year, or in a single, 2 hours, that's how much it's dropping. That way it creates more destruction because I don't think they were counting on as many people coming together and helping out Western North Carolina as happened. And then also, I don't think their secondary attempt with the wildfires this past spring was effective as they anticipated. So I think they're hitting it with a round two this time. And who knows, Hurricane Helene could have just been like a test, just to see what like America's response, like the citizens' response would have been to that event. I don't know.
Yeah, Denise is saying they live in the town over and they're saying they finally got rain yesterday. Now it's crazy because they usually get the rain and we don't get as much, and now that whole thing was flip-flop. So I'm glad to hear they finally got some rain. But yeah, we've been getting it every single day. In fact, it's good to a certain extent. It's good for the grazing because when you have this much rain, look, for those that don't know, when you're out here grazing your animals, you move them fast when the grass is growing fast, you move them slower when the grass is growing slower. But with all this moisture out here that we don't normally have, we're still on a rotation that they would have in spring. In the middle of summer, they'd be moving a lot slower, but they're still, I got them in much larger paddocks than that right now. Well, not much larger, but larger than they're accustomed to. And instead of one day, they're getting 2 day rotation, where ordinarily this time of year, I'd be giving them maybe closer to 3. But yeah, I could move them every single day, but I got them working all around this silver grass that's in the area that they're in, and want them to eat it down low. So when I go in there with the weed eater, I can just get the silver grass and not anything else. So I'm letting them work it over a little bit more than I ordinarily would. But yeah, they're loving that. So yeah, getting a lot of rain. I'm doing, folks, this is going to work in accordance to the show. I'm doing every single thing I possibly can outside. If you go back and listen to the program that I did with Logan, and then also the gentleman from Matt from Cultivate Elevate, folks, I am all about this circadian biology. And the more and more and more I learn about it, the more and more and more, like everything else we talk about here, it's one of those things that you are not being told about on purpose. And I'm seeing the needle move in the biggest way in my life by working in accordance to it. We'll come more to that later, but I'm doing everything. When I say everything outside, folks, I mean, we got a front porch, so I do a lot of it there. But when it's not raining, I'm sitting in a chair getting whatever sunlight I can get. I mean, whatever I can possibly get. Now, I'm a little bit darker, which means I need more vitamin D than most. You know, whereas Michelle, she can go out there for 1/10 of the time. Like somebody like Denise from Renewed Homestead, you need a fraction of the sunlight. If you get that D-Minder app and you use it, you'll be like, dude, you're still out there, man. I've already hit my limit already. And I mean, she could probably do in 20 minutes or 15 minutes what it takes me hours to do. So I'm doing every single thing I possibly can outside, especially to mitigate some of the risks, that, you know, from the junk they're dropping in the sky every single day. And it's every single day. I'm dead serious. And the more research I'm doing, you look up in the clouds, you see those moguls, you see popcorns up there. It's not natural, folks. There is no, this is all, they're dropping their junk, and then they're playing with the NEXRAD radar towers to steer this stuff. So I'm doing everything I can, folks, to work in accordance with the circadian rhythm. And the more I realize, you know what's really stupid, son, is that if there is anybody more decentralized or works in accordance to how the earth operates in accordance to their animals, it would be a lot of us farmers out here. So why don't we take the same approach when it comes to our health, our own personal health? I mean,
that's a good point. I mean, most farmers, if you look at most farmers, they have some of the worst health you've ever seen. Doctors and farmers have some of the worst health, and they're responsible for producing our medicine and our food. So that should be a good like sign of what our food actually is. Or how well our medicine actually works. And I'm saying like medicine in quotes, the not real medicine, but the stuff that they push at pharmacies and whatnot.
Yeah. See, that's the cool thing about this is I'm now realizing, I'm like, man, I thought I was as decentralized as anybody could ever be. And the more I check out, you know, a lot of the people out there that are really, really awesome at this stuff, I'm realizing, man, I got a long way to go, but I'm catching up and I'm a quick study and I'm learning it quick. And that's part of what I'm doing. Like, for example, all the heavy metals are dropping. And this is one thing I learned this week, and I'll pass it on to everybody else. I was listening to a 2-year-old interview with Dr. Jack Cruz, and there he was talking about heavy metal chelation. And everybody's thinking, you got to do this, you got to do that. I had no idea that the number one way to chelate these heavy metals out of you is sweat therapy. I mean, like in the sweat lodge, you don't have to use a sweat lodge, but being in the sun, sweating profusely, is one really awesome way to chelate, because the way he explained it was that, you know, it goes out of your liver and then your body's like, okay, we'll get rid of this somehow. And we're going to push it because you're making all that. There's so many awesome things that are happening, and then it pushes it out through your skin and the sweat. And that's exactly what I'm doing. So I'm out here sweating like a runaway slave, and I'm getting it done. Denise says, yeah, redheads also have the ability to get more vitamin D, and there are why there are more redheads in cloudier areas. Yeah, you, Michelle, she thinks I'm upset about the fact that I'm like, man, you already hit your limit and you're already done. And I'm like, the darker you are, man. I mean, I'm like, man, I'm having to put in some work out here. But hey, you double up on these things. So I'm out here planning the podcast. I'm out here, whatever work I have to do, any clerical work, which I hate doing, you know, any emails I have to do, any of that, believe me, in the past, it would have been in a comfortable spot. And now we're all victims of comfort. So I'm making sure I do these things in a very, even if you're not in the direct sunlight, somebody like Denise or Michelle, all of us benefit, even if being under a tree, you're still getting the benefits of all of that. So I'm trying to do everything I possibly can. As far as air conditioning, we wouldn't even use it at all. I mean, we would not even use it because I'm so accustomed to it now that the only time we ever turn it on is like right now when I'm doing a podcast, I'd be baking up here. So we don't even really use it anymore except for night. So, yeah, so that sweat therapy, man, that's some good stuff. And it reminds me of my first journeyman that I ever had when I got in the trade. It was an old guy named Kyle Haley. Man, this guy had more sayings in a little bit. I mean, I remember first day on the job, he told me, now, I had a chip on my shoulder. You know, here I was, master blaster in the Army. I was somebody that I thought was important. Maybe a little over, you know, a high sense of self, maybe more than it should have been. And then here I am starting all over again out on the street. And then I'm working with these guys. It was a very strange world. And we left the Army and went back to Oklahoma. Here I am, you know, going to college full time and also working as an apprentice. And I'm trying to figure out life, you know, on the outside of the Army. I had it pretty well figured out in there. And then here I am on the outside starting all over again. And I remember working with this. I talked about it in that one episode about how I came. I think I talked about it. Here I was back in Oklahoma. And believe me, back then, the N-word would fall off of people's tongues and they wouldn't even think twice about it. I'm kid you not. And I was working around some guys that were just dyed-in-the-wool bigots and weren't afraid to tell you about it. And here I am.
Not in the fun or educational way.
No. These guys were just absolute jerks. And here I was. I mean, I'm, you know, William's just a baby at the time. And all I was thinking was, when I get out of the Army, if anybody ever says anything to me that's out of sorts, I'm going to put my hands on them. And that's exactly, now here I was in a position where I'm an apprentice and you can't necessarily do that. And the world was much different back then. It was, I mean, we're talking 30 years ago, man. That's a long time ago. So anyway, I'm working and I'm in the middle of summer and I'm out here working on this dirt project on this Hobby Lobby truck maintenance facility in Mustang, Oklahoma. And they finally put me with this old guy and I made certain assumptions about him. I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm going to be dealing with another bigot here. And folks, if you know anything about me, I'm the last person on earth to ever claim somebody as a bigot, but I'm serious. At that time, that was the reason we left Oklahoma. I kid you not. Michelle and I couldn't even get seated in Bricktown in 2003. I kid you not. It was still, yes, 9 out of 10 people back then who the president was, and they'd tell you Jefferson Davis. So it was they were still fighting the war back then. Anyway, different place, I understand, as it is now. But to this day, Michelle will make me drive around the entire state. She won't even go through Oklahoma because of the experience that we had there. Anyway, I'm working with this guy and he's at that point, he's got to be in his early 60s. And I'm thinking, okay, man, I got to deal with another one of these guys. And right at where I'm at my edge, where I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to thread somebody's head. The next person that says something stupid to me, I'm going to put a beating on him. And it turned out he was the coolest dude ever. And he changed my mind. And out there sweating, I was just thinking about him today. And he had all these crazy sayings and, you know, the guy was willing to teach me. Unlike a lot of the other guys out there was like, hey, don't even ask me anything. They would literally tell you, hey, don't even ask me anything. I'm not going to teach you anything. And I learned despite them. So when I hear these idiots saying, oh, well, you know, the deck is stacked against me, I don't hear that garbage. I don't hear it. If you want it bad enough, you'll figure it out. Anyway, watch that movie, Men of Honor, with Carl Brashears. If you can achieve in that environment, you can achieve anywhere. But anyway, I'm sitting here working around this guy, and I'm thinking, okay, man, what is going on? And then I can find out this guy's got the most awesome sense of humor and a way of turn a phrase. And I remember the first day on the job, I'm out there sweating like crazy and they got a shovel in my hand. And I'm like, man, I'll tell you what, the Army's feeling pretty good right about now. And I'm out here digging this hole so we could put some conduit in the ground. Didn't quite know what I was doing. All I know is I'm out here digging this hole. And then Kyle says, he comes up there. He says, hey, son. You know, he had this real gravelly voice. He says, hey, son, look, when you're working with me, you only got to worry about two things. And I said, what's that, Kyle? You either better be whistling or sweating, because if you're whistling, I think you like your job. If you're sweating, I know you're doing your job. And so he kind of broke the ice with that. And I'm like, okay. And then, you know, I'm also at the same time, I mean, the job market wasn't really wonderful back then. I guess it wasn't the worst. It wasn't like it was in the 80s or anything. And then there was another time where, man, I have got to go to the bathroom. I'm out here sweating again another day. And then he comes up and I'm sweating like crazy. And then, you know, he wouldn't just say, okay, go dig this other hole. He'd make me work with him and show me exactly what he was doing. So I was learning the trade. And I was like, man, why can't everybody be like this guy? And so I'm like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. And I had to go for, it's one of those days where I had to go for 30 minutes But I'm like, okay, man, I don't want to. He says, son, what's wrong? I said, well, man, I got to go to the bathroom. He says, well, go ahead and go. I said, well, you know, it's about another 20 minutes and we're going to be at lunch anyway. And then he just takes off his hard hat right there. He says, son, they make a dollar. You make a dime. Take that dump on company time. He had all kinds of crazy stuff. He's like, I mean, you know, he was or he would be like, you know, he says, son, you know, I'm here to make dollars, not make sense. You know, he was like, they would ask him to do something stupid. He was like, man, you got your, he said, I'm here to make dollars, not sense. Or it was like, he said, what are you complaining about, son? You playing hide and seek for $2,000 a week. You know, crazy stuff like that. I mean, you know, they weren't always wonderful things, or work ethic wise, they weren't always wonderful, but it was, you know, it's little things like that. When I'm out there sweating like I was today, I'm thinking that first journeyman I ever had, Kyle Haley, he's gone now. He's passed on. But, man, he was one of those guys that, you know, really, he knew, I think he knew I was on the edge. And, in fact, he had talked to me about it a number of times. So I'm thankful. It's one of those times like today where you're out there sweating, you're sucking it up, and you think about, or at least I do, you know, I'm thinking about those people that made a difference in my life. Other guys I could name, like John Sargent, you know, I went to school with his kids, you know, other people out there that really made a difference in my life. And, you know, it's out there when I was sweating and I'm thinking about these guys because it was, I was sweating like crazy when I met them. So anyway, son, I didn't mean to go on like that. One last thing and I'll pass it over to you. The remediation site we're doing over there. Okay. It's looking pretty rough right now. And why is it? Okay, we ran into, and son, you'll know what I'm talking about here. So what did Jeff Lawton run into the first time he did the Greening the Desert site?
Well, he had to end up coming back and redoing it because the people he entrusted it with did not take care of the system. They did the hands-off approach before the system was ready for the hands-off approach.
Right, even though they were trained, they were well, you know. Well, we ran into the same kind of thing over here. Your mom and I, when we got back from that little trip the other day from Gatlinburg, we stopped in over there. It was on the way, so I said, well, let's just pull in right quick. Let me just take a look. We get over there, man, it's a total jungle. It's a mess. Now, the owners that we did this for, they went on a month-long vacation I don't know where they went. They went to Canada or something like that. So the fifth wheel that they normally live in out there, they basically hitched it up, went out there. And then when we came back, folks, you can't find a tree out there right now. You can't find it. And the thing that's troublesome, at least to me, is that it takes me back to some older, you know, I used to volunteer. I did a lot of volunteer work in my life, folks, and I still do. But Habitat for Humanity was one of those things I used to do a whole lot of volunteer work for. And I vowed I'd never do it again after some of the experiences that I went through. Chiefly among them being, you go back and look at that house a month after they got some hood rat living in it and take a look at the state of that place. It is a dump. Nearly every single Habitat for Humanity house I ever worked on, and believe me, I've worked on a lot of them. I'm like, okay, I won't be doing this anymore. Well, went out there to this site, and it's a mess. Now, to their credit, they told me that they had had a deal with their renter who just lives in one of the lot next to them. Then in exchange for some of the rent that she was supposed to take care of this area, keep it mowed or whatever the case may be. Weed eat it. Well, that didn't get done. So anyway, it's a complete mess. Anyway, if they don't take care of it at some point, I'm going to go back over there and I'm going to make the problem the solution. So, and what I mean by that, if I had my way, I would load up the goats and I could, or the sheep rather, I would load up the sheep, bring them over there, put up a net and let the sheep do their thing and just put cages around the trees. That would be the most efficient way of doing it. In fact, I got videos coming up here soon to show you exactly how effective they can be. But we're going to go over there and we're going to show you the permaculture way of dealing with a problem like this, because I guarantee there are people listening to this podcast right now. You put in this food forest, you put in this orchard, whatever the case may be, and it ain't even your fault. Let's say, you know, wife ran off with a go-go dancer, you know, husband decided he's going to hit the bricks on you, or you had to go get another job because now all of a sudden even though Trump says it ain't happening, inflation's off the charts and you just can't make it work and things ain't ready. And it got away from you. We're going to give you some really, really awesome, sensible solutions. So if here in a few days, if they don't have it squared away, we're going to go over there and I'm going to show you how the permaculture pimp daddy gets it done and how you can do it too. Honestly, because I guarantee there's so many people out there that got gardens that just get away from them. And it ain't your fault. Don't kick yourself, folks. It happens to the best of us. It happened to me. I mean, it happens a lot. And but when you got perennial trees out there, man, you gotta do a little bit more. So hopefully, I mean, if they don't have it already squared away, we're going to give you a really awesome solution and how to get it done and how to make the problem the solution. And it's probably going to be one of the coolest things you've ever seen us ever do. So, yeah, hopefully you guys get to see that.
And a word of caution against food forests. Like, a lot of people will put in a food forest or they want a food forest because they think or have heard from other people that a food forest is like a no maintenance orchard, or it's like a no maintenance way to garden or whatever it may be. And it will be eventually after the first like 3 to 4 years of maintaining it. And then once the canopy start creating shade, then you start getting like a no maintenance type food forest if you want to go that route. So a lot of people will get into a food forest or want a food forest on their property with the intent of, oh, I don't have to maintain it. And then they're in for a rude awakening whenever the grass starts growing or they didn't put down a thick enough mulch layer or whatever it may be. And then things start growing and start overgrowing, like growing over your trees and stuff like that. So there's a little word of caution.
Yeah. And we're actually to that point down there in our food forest where the canopy is. And that's why I was going to let the sheep in next year. I didn't plan on doing it this year, but folks, just like so many others out there, look, man, I understand. So don't kick yourself. Give yourself a little bit of grace out there. There's most people that won't even try this. So don't even kick yourself if it gets away from you. But I'm going to show you a really awesome way. If things just get too out of control, you don't know what to do, things are a mess, I'm going to show you how to fix it and make the problem make the problem the solution at the same time. Now, the ideal thing would be, yes, go ahead and put some sheep out there. But I ain't just going to trust my stock out here. I mean, if there's just certain concerns I would have around there. And plus, there's a couple of hillbillies up there, man. I don't want to come out there and see a couple of these sheep with their feet in some boots or something, you know, man. You never know. You never know with some of these old boys up in the mountains.
You're going to see some of those sheep strung up on a tree getting processed.
Yeah. It
ain't deer season, but they're close enough.
Yeah, there ain't no telling what may happen out there. So, yeah, I'm just going to show you another way. If all you have is a weed eater, how you can make the problem the solution, or a scythe would be even better. But hey, if this is all you got, you use what you have. All right, Sam, what's going on your end?
Today I went out to a client's house, and I know it's not the right season or anything like that, but she's going to be watering pretty consistently. But we went and remediated the soil in her garden. So I took some of my compost over, and she's not far away, maybe 45 minutes, Clarksville, Texas, not far from me at all. Went over there with some compost, made some compost extract. We drenched all of her garden, her beds, her pots, all that stuff. We drenched it with some soil extract, and then we're going to do 3 more applications before the next spring planting. And then also she learned a hard lesson quickly. And that hard lesson was making too big of a garden too quickly. She had this massive, like, I wouldn't make this size garden if I'm only trying to produce food for myself. Like, it's way too big for anything that me or my family needs. If I'm looking to get into market gardening, then maybe grow into this size of gardening. But she made a massive, massive garden. And then halfway through the summer realized, like, wow, this takes forever for me to come out here and water every single day all of these plants. She doesn't have any automated systems yet. She will be in the future. And yeah, so she immediately did was mowed down 3/4 of the garden, just called it quits on that so she could stop maintaining that, and then just maintained the quarter of the garden that was doing the best. So yeah, that's what we did today was remediated parts of that garden. There was nice vegetation on the ground because she did mow down all of that previous garden space. And yeah, that's what I did today. And then just prepping for the next consultation tour. I'll be going up to West Virginia, North Carolina, Idaho, all in a car. It's going to be an interesting drive. It's a day and 9 hours from West Virginia to Idaho, if anybody was curious. And then other than that, just getting the stuff filmed and ready for the permaculture design course that I'm putting on. That's why I have the chalkboard back here, getting that ready. I will be in Boise, Idaho, by the way, Matthew, you were asking. And if anybody wants me to stop by on that western side while I'm over there, like, it makes sense now because you're sharing travel costs versus waiting till I get home and then reaching out. So shoot me an email at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com. It's called thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com if you're on the west side and stuff like that. But that's what I got going on here.
Cool. Stephen Jones is asking, it may not be pertinent to this session. Okay. He says, we have a lot of shade on our property, and I have done a lot of clearing. I don't have a super sunny area. Workable? What do you think, son?
Now, is he talking about, like, workable for food, or is he talking about work, like, workable for getting that sun?
See, I don't know. I mean, I was going to say it depends, because this is, I know, Stephen, it's not a big help to hear. It depends. But honestly, there's so many variables to be able to tell you. But in most cases, there is always, it depends on, well, first of all, where you're located, how much sun. There's a lot of variables in there we got to know before we could give you any solid answer on that, unfortunately.
If you're the Stephen Jones I'm thinking of and you're in Georgia, then there's still plenty that you can grow under the canopy of other trees and stuff like that. So yeah, don't let that stop you from growing. Like where I live here in Texas, my garden in the backyard gets shaded from maybe like middle of summer from maybe 2 on. Like it doesn't get sun until maybe 9 or 10, and then it stops getting sun at like 2, and that's more than enough sun than for what I need. Like, I could easily grow a garden under the canopy of a tree here in Texas. And where you are in Georgia, if you're in the same location I'm thinking, yeah, you should totally be fine.
All right, y'all. Redemption Shield. Oh, 10% off with promo code PERMA. I think I mentioned it before. I bought a few more things where I'm grounding everything outside the windows, and each mat I'm basically grounding independently. And I'm really liking doing that as opposed to putting it into the circuit that's going back. I mean, knowing what I know now about EMFs, I don't know that I'm wanting to plug them into the wall. I mean, in some areas it might be okay, but I don't know that that's the best application I want to do. So anyway, if you want to get any of the stuff I'm getting over there, and like I said, I'm a customer too. I'm not just, look, I don't tell y'all about things I don't use. So anyway, Redemption Shield 10% off with promo code PERMA. And I still have yet to put the rest of that stuff in there. So thanks a lot, Denise, for putting that up on there. All right. So WaveWatch, Billy 100. I wore it yesterday, and I wore it the day before yesterday. You know why? Because I went to town. And I wear that thing every single time I might be around other human beings, or I might be in a place where I might be around a lot of transient stuff. Now, so I don't know who asked, and I don't recall what they asked, but anyway, people were wondering, is that watch giving off EMF? No, it's not. I went through and I checked it with my EMF meter, and that thing's not giving off any magnetic signature, no EMF, no nothing. So it's just a pulse signal that it's putting out, and it's getting your body squared away. I mean, the thing works so good. I had to wear it for about 6 months before I ever even told anybody about it. That's how much that thing does work, especially at a time where we were going through a whole lot around here in terms of attacks. Anyway, that's another story altogether. But Billy 100 will get you $100 off that. And then coming up, East Tennessee Homestead Alliance Festival. That's going to be September 12th and 13th in Knoxville, Tennessee. And hope to see a lot of you there. So it looks like it ought to be a lot of fun. And I'll be talking about some cool stuff. I don't yet know what exactly, but it's probably going to be soil related because we've been doing a lot of that as of late. And honestly, folks, I mean, remember, this show is about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And they all go together. Everybody, I mean, this distinction that everybody wants to make between preparedness and permaculture, I don't see it. And I haven't seen it. And I never could see it. And I don't understand those that do see it. I mean, I really don't. So We're always talking about soil and always talking about ways in which you can really. You hear this cat?
I can hear that cat. Yeah.
So come get this little hell cat. Yeah, she's in here. Hey, she's in here scratching somebody. Anyway, this little cat. Come here, cat. Come here, cat.
That's for those of you that don't know, my whole life I've always heard from mom that she doesn't like cats. And then all it took was this little homeless looking ginger cat to come crawling up to mom, acting all starved and hungry and whatnot. And then all of a sudden mom loves cats now. And then not only she brought this little homeless cat inside, it instantly became an indoor cat.
I'm like, what is going on here? But she is a sweet little cat. For a feral cat, I'm telling you what, man, she ain't to be played with. I mean, she is a straight up killer. Ain't that right? Her name is Magnificent Agamemnon Jackson Esquire. Say hi, Tuggy. Say hi, Tuggy.
Yeah, that cat has reorganized the ecosystem on that property. That cat goes killing every night.
Yeah, she's out there. Yeah, she is. I mean, she likes the killing because it's so fulfilling. And I'm telling you what, boy, she will stack them up. You got to look on the mat every single morning when you walk out there. You'll be walking on guts. I've been told that, you know, when a cat sits there and brings whatever they killed up and strings it out on the porch, that's actually a good thing. But boy, I'll tell you what, as pampered as she is, and your mom gets off on the fact that she'll come in a room like a little hood rat making a bunch of noise, and your mom will start doting on her, and then all of a sudden she just doubles down on it like, meow, meow, meow. She'll just sit there and go crazy. Yeah, I'm talking about you, cat. Anyway, Thuggy, you go out there and do your thing. But anyway, she is a sweet cat. I mean, I've never seen a feral cat that wanted to be all huggy, lovey-dovey, and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, yeah, this cat is a trip. Anyway,
Thuggy. Hold on, the cat's real name is Ginger. Mom named it Ginger.
I think we voted on it, and everybody, and trust me, she likes you to say the whole thing. Thugnificent Agamemnon Jackson Esquire. So, Thuggy, yeah, go do your thing. All right, so let's get into some of this good news. So reach for these functional foods and adaptogens during stressful times. I mean, who's not going through some of that stuff right now? I'll give you the cliff notes here. Omega-3s, obviously, for navigating the parasympathetic nervous system. You want to get those, folks, and if you can get them through natural means, that's always better. I'm trying to avoid anything that comes in the pill these days. And honestly, I'm feeling even better since getting rid of all the multivitamins and all the other stuff I was taking. So I'm down to very, very little these days. Fermented foods, cultivating peace for the microbiome, harnessing the anti-inflammatory power of berries. I mean, man, I love blueberries, especially this time of year. Raw cacao, you know, oxygenate the brain. So, you know, you got things like ashwagandha. I swear there's a girl in the hood. I guarantee there's a girl in the hood named ashwagandha.
There's a boy in the hood named ashwagandha.
Somebody. I guarantee it. Somewhere in Texas, there's somebody named ashwagandha LaJohn. Anyway, maca root. Man, some of this stuff I can't even pronounce. But anyway, you want to see that article, go over to naturalnews.com, man. Having these things, I can't. Well, I'm just being honest here, man. I just can't even pronounce some of this stuff. It's like they all, yeah. Remember all the black names in Texas, son? They all ended in Avion.
I was just thinking that. I was like, you're reading that thing the way you'd be reading a Texarkana High yearbook.
Yeah.
I
was going down my niece's yearbook. I'm like, nah, somebody for real? Everything ended in Avion. It was Marquavion, Darbavion, Marblavion. I was like, really? Is this legit?
Antique?
No, Antique was back in Kansas. It was spelled antique. It was spelled antique. I go into a bread place, and I just made a comment. I said, it was like, and it's spelled antique. And I said, oh, that's an interesting name. And then she came back all thuggish and says, it's antique way. Oh, I said, well, it's spelled antique. It's antique way. Okay. Okay. Antique way. Can I get some sourdough? And then this little hood rat, she put her finger through the hole. She made a hole in the bag. You know, like, put, I mean, this is why nobody wants to hire hood rats, okay? Let me just keep it real. This is why nobody wants to hire hood rats. Don't raise hood rats, okay?
How is it you can say this, but you can't see, you can't say seeds are beneficial for you?
Yeah, I can't get away with, yeah, I can't get away with that one. I'm Kikwai. She's yelling it. And we're at a, what's that bread store? Panera. Back when Panera was halfway decent. I mean, they were never great, but, you know, it was a, that's what it was. It was Panera Bread. And it was in Kansas City. Antique way. Yeah, poked a hole in the bag. I didn't realize till I got home. Man, I lost it. And then what she didn't, what Antique way didn't realize is that I was a host at KMBZ. So I put her on blast in front of the whole city. Yes, so Antique way. And so I got on there. Boy, you talk about, that was one of them shows that, I mean, people were blowing up the call-in lines. Because I did it, I did an entire show on ghetto names and stuff like that. So, folks, I am honestly well beyond caring what anybody thinks, what I have to say about some of this stuff. I'm just keeping it real. You give your kid a hood rat name, you're probably destined them to push a broom for the rest of their lives if they're lucky. I'm just being honest here. So go ahead and name them. If it was Antique, okay, you'd probably get away with that. But you expect me, and then you want to get mad because I don't know how to pronounce Antique as Antique as Antique Way. Antique, it was spelled Antique. Anyway. Besides, how am I even supposed to pronounce half these names anyway? I'm sitting here going down. I mean, look at, I caught a little bit of the NFL, and I'm seeing the names fly across the screen. They ought to put question marks at the end of these names so I can ask it in the form of a question. Because who even knows how to pronounce half these things? For real. There was this one kid, and he was out of, man, folks, I'm telling you, I know I'm going a little sideways here, but hey, I'm going with it. Check it out. I kid you not. If you Google it, you'll find it, I bet. There was a kid in, and it was in Louisiana, near Texarkana. And the kid's name was the coldest to ever do it, Crawford.
And yeah, guess what? He lived up to his name because I think he's playing college football now. I think he's actually, like, he had two options, prison or football. And I think he's actually playing football. I think, like, people are actually paying attention to him, and his name keeps randomly popping up, too. The coldest.
The coldest. D-A hyphen. And that's another thing. You don't have a sufficient ghetto name unless you throw in some punctuation marks that don't belong. I'm seeing apostrophes, hyphens. I'm waiting for the semicolons to come out. But the one underused one is the question mark. So I can say, like Andy Pearson wrote in here, Will Teakway. You got to put a question mark at the end of it, bro, so I can say, so I can ask it in the form of it, like, Will Teakway? I mean, put a question mark. Now, I mean, it used to be you just put la or duh in front of any name, and you got, voila, instant ghetto name. Now you got to misuse punctuation marks. I mean, J. Marcus, there was this one, J. Marcus, J. hyphen Marcus. I swear they used every punctuation mark in the book, and not one of them worked. J. Marcus Taekwon, and then there was an apostrophe in there. And then, of course, you got to throw a Q, not necessarily follow with a U, to get a sufficient ghetto name out of this stuff. I don't even know how I got on this topic, but anyway, folks, I could talk all day long about this stuff. And yeah, so anyway, don't give your kids ghetto names and don't teach them to act like thugs. Look, I understand that we're all nyukas now. I get that, because they're dropping this crap on everybody. It doesn't mean you behave like one. Okay. All right. So let me go to this next news story. So, why the fear and specter of cancer when antioxidants are unavailable? Well, basically, why fear any of that? I think I just talked about some of that. No, I didn't. Sorry, man. My computer's up here acting up. So some of the cool things that you can use to mitigate the possibility of dealing with, well, first of all, let me add the one that's in here that they don't talk about, and that's circadian biology. Worrying about your light and dark cycles. If you're using your computer or your phone at night, get that little thing where you tap it three times on your phone and it makes it red. It gets rid of most of the blue light out there. Okay. Changing your light bulbs out in your house or switching them over to incandescent. Do that sort of thing. What William and I are doing right now, we wear blue light blockers. Okay. I'm in a studio. I got studio lights in here. I'm surrounded by a lot of EMF. Do those little things in addition to this stuff. But one of the things that they're adding is like resveratrol, which obviously you can get through grapes and wine and stuff like that. You know, I was talking to my best friend and he was saying, yeah, man, they drink wine all the time. Didn't even bother him. Lycopene. Okay. You get a lot of tomatoes this time of year. In fact, I had a tomato sandwich today, day before that.
And Emily just got done canning a bunch of tomatoes today.
See, that's what I'm talking about. There's your lycopene, vitamin A. Man, there's a lot of good sources out there. You know, your orange stuff like sweet potatoes, carrots, stuff like that. Spinach also has a lot of it. Vitamin C, I mean, vitamin E, beta carotene. Look, there's a lot of ghetto names in here I can't pronounce either. So quercetin, all these other things that you can get naturally through a lot of the food. And that's where I'm trying to eat a little more seasonably. Not to say, now keep in mind, y'all, so I don't sound like a complete hypocrite. Look, that's not to say that you can't enjoy some of this stuff. Like all those peaches we pulled off that tree the other day. Your mom, sorry, son, but your mom made a pie. Watermelon rye, 4 and 20 woodpeckers baked in a pie. Yeah. She went and made a peach pie out here today. And, yeah, I don't know what it tastes like yet, but I'll let y'all know tomorrow. It's too late in the day for me to get into it. But if you're going to eat some stuff like that, maybe she used some coconut sugar. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not saying you can't have that stuff, but man, you know, 80-20 rule, you know, and don't make the 80 the stuff you're not supposed to eat. Okay. It's supposed to be that 20 part. So, yeah, you can enjoy those things. You just gotta, I mean, my problem is when I cut into that pie, it's like, okay, now what are we going to do with the rest of this? If you know anything about me, I don't waste food. And I'm like, okay, could I freeze dry this thing? I don't know.
Actually, that'd probably be off the hook. If you were to break it up and like crumble it up and stuff and then freeze dry it and then treat it like a granola or something like that, that would probably like a dry granola. That'd probably be pretty good.
I wonder. I mean, I don't know yet. I mean, man, I guess maybe I'll give it a shot and find out what it's like. I mean, if, you know, when an apocalypse happens, which, mm-hmm. you know, who knows when, you know, having some freeze-dried peach pie may not be the worst thing in the world. So, but I imagine everything in there, you know, for the crust is going to be crumbly. But, man, son, y'all are just going to have to live vicariously. You'll have to get your mom to teach Emily how to make her famous crust and all the other things she does out here. So
guaranteed mom won't like that pie, that peach pie. I don't know why, but anytime, even though mom makes some stuff that's off the hook, she's always the biggest critic. She's the one that won't like the pie because it won't set up right or it won't have the right flavor she's expecting. I don't know what it is, but even though the pie will be off the hook, it'll be the best pie you ever had. Mom will find something about it that she won't like because she made it.
Well, I think it's like that for anybody that makes anything. You always, I don't know why it is. It never tastes as good when you make it yourself. I don't know why that is, but it's always better when somebody else does it. I can kind of relate to that to a certain extent, but she's overly critical about everything concerning herself. And then finally here, the last one here, optimal protein intake could be the missing link in keeping your brain sharp. Now, I brought this up for a couple of reasons. William, when you were at Zaytuna Farm, you were around a bunch of what?
Vegans, militant vegans.
Now, what problem did they, you told us this way back then, what was their number one problem as you saw it?
Is that they were crazy to try the vegan diet, and then as the vegan diet went on, they were getting crazier and crazier. Even like, there's a lot of fallacies when it comes to like a vegan diet and whatnot. Like, you're perfectly fine with mutilating the genitalia of plants that we find out communicate just as well as like the rest of life does. Perfectly fine with that, but cute little fluffy lamb you can't process and eat. Yeah, they were crazy to try it to begin with, and then they got crazier as they went on with the vegan diet.
Well, that's what this article basically chronicles, is that they've tested a bunch of people out there and they're finding out. Not saying you need animal protein per se, but you need some kind of protein, I mean, in some form. I mean, there's plenty of perfectly sane people that live a vegetarian diet and get along just fine. But they're not doing vegan diets either. There ain't a, okay, like Mark Sisson once said, find me a single tribe, native tribe, in anywhere on this planet of vegans that isn't extinct. You ain't going to find it. So, you know, going back to that circadian thing. Hey, just for the record here, let me just shout. Hey, Michelle, Denise wrote on here, she's a great cook and she's way too hard on herself. You hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's way too hard on herself regarding everything. I mean, you name it, she is pretty hard on herself. So, yeah, trying to get her out of that has been an uphill battle. But, hey, I will definitely – hey, Denise, y'all probably ought to come over here and help eat up this pie, because you better get here quick, because there ain't going to be yeah, hey, you know what? We'll swing by that ice cream place too. I was going to give them some peaches. In fact, man, yeah, I need to give y'all some peaches anyway, and I need to give you a truck. Anyway.
What?
Don't be a vegan. Yeah, that's a whole nother story altogether. But anyway, yeah, I wanted William to tell that Zaytuna story. And when I saw that article, I thought, okay, well, that's something we probably ought to put out there. All right, with that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, earthworks for water conservation and storage. We can calculate the volume of water going into a catchment by looking at a contour map. Using the fact that water only moves at a right angle to contour, we estimate the area that will feed a catchment. Then we find out the maximum 24-hour occurrence through climate records. At this point, the volume of rain times the area will give the amount of water potentially caught in 24 hours. Divide this by 24 for the hourly rate, divide the hourly rate by 60 for the volume per minute, and divide the minute rate by 60 for the per second rate. Then we overcalculate everything just to be safe. With water in its storage, we have the potential to make a space richer in life, either naturally so or for potential production. Water is a great productive element, and we can enhance this through design. For example, dams can be designed with ridges for cultivating productive water plants, and we could also use floating growers for more production. Adding a swale to the system could both increase the volume caught as well as add productivity by planting trees. Swales are tree-growing systems downhill to take advantage and regulate the water seeped into the soil. Water conservation comes through adjusting runoff, catching water so that it spreads, soaks, and hydrates the landscape. Conservation increases productivity with things like swales creating tree systems and the storage of water in the landscape is appropriate when such systemic conditions are made. Storage tanks and catchments should start as high as possible, and the catchment system can then work its way down. Remember, water can't move up without energy to do it, but it moves downhill for free. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. So many times, I mean, this is why, you know, when it comes to water, man, we want to try to put it as high in the landscape as we can. Easier said than done these days, especially when you live in the area where we do. But if at all possible, and, you know, all of us, man, we're just hacking it. Everybody I know is just kind of hacking it out of the wilderness, just trying to stay above water with all the dumb stuff and the nonsense going on in this world. I mean, they're telling us there's no inflation and it's just tough. So you can't exactly hire a dozer to come out here and put it anywhere you want. So you just do what you can. But yeah, Eric, once, as always, knocked it out of the park. Silver Sage, you're about to derail this whole thing here. He says, what's the pie recipe? What's the crust recipe? I couldn't tell. He says, Silver Sage says, does she use butter or lard? Well, she uses both. So check this out. Whenever I take the leaf lard out of a pig, which is basically the every animal, every four-legged animal is going to have it to some extent or another. Anywhere you find the kidneys, you're going to find it packed in the best fat on that animal. There's three types of fat. I'll just give you an example on a pig. You got the belly fat, okay, which is bacon. You got the back fat, which is pretty much everything. And then you got the leaf lard, which is around the kidneys. And now it's the same thing in a cow where you can take that lard and you can really, because it's white. It is as white as this water bottle right here. Okay. Once it hardens up, and that's the stuff you want to use for your baked goods and stuff like that. She's done it both ways. I'm pretty sure she used, butter on this one, but yeah, this is part of the reason why you can render all the fat from your animals. You know, some animals better than others, but honestly, when it comes from, you know, whether it's leaf lard from a pig or whether it's coming from a cow, you know, this is how people did it back in the day. And a lot of us have forgotten about it, whether it was butter or lard. Yeah, but you can better believe it ain't no Crisco. So
nope.
Yep. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she probably would have used butter because she would have had to thaw out some leaf lard for that. And plus, I got a lot more I need to go ahead and render anyway. All right, so let's just jump right into this, folks. I'm going to do the show that I wanted to do last week, but I went sideways and didn't really cover it. Look, I'm going to try to talk a little bit more about health. I know people want to hear permaculture preparedness. Look, this is part of it. Look, I'm almost 55 years old, y'all. And for me to keep doing, this is the work I love to do. But I realized a few years back that if I want to keep doing it, especially in this rough mountain environment, I am going to have to make some serious changes in terms of how I do things. I need to find out the best way to keep myself as fit as I possibly can. And of course, you'll see my weight fluctuate throughout the year. There's a reason for that. And I'm also doing experiments all the time. Okay. And, this circadian health, I really know that I'm onto something here because I've never required less. Now, let me give you the impetus for even doing this show. A lot of you have heard of the cardiologist, Dr. Peter McCullough. And I was listening to some of these stats that he gave out here. Now, let me first, because I love history and I'm something of a historian, you know, I can tell you off the top of my head probably how many people died. You name a war, I can probably tell you how many people died. If there was a category on Jeopardy for useless trivia, I'd probably win it. So I told you before that anywhere between 1.3 to 1.4 million people died in all wars combined in the United States of amnesia. That's a lot of freaking people. Now, it's a moon cast shadow compared to how many people were died in, let's say, Germany or Russia during World War II. You know, depending on the numbers, you can't get any solid numbers, let's say out of Russia, but let's say it was 20 million, which is, you know, what a lot of them agree on. Some say a lot more, some say a lot less. Strange, though, how we just seem to focus on this 6 million, but I digress. Even though 20 million were killed, dead is dead, okay? But anyway, we lost altogether in the United States in the Civil War alone, like 620,000. All of them together, 1.3 to 1.4, it seems kind of disrespectful that we don't even know for sure in that 100,000 gap. I mean, how awful is that? Now, since that jab came out, according to Dr. Peter McCullough, and it knocked me on my face when I heard it, 1.75 are the conservative figures for how many people are dead because of it. You think that's newsworthy? Are you going to hear the prostitutes over at Fox and CNN talking about it? And yes, they're both prostitutes, but most of your baby boomers ain't going to know that, but they are. And then I check out Ed Dowd. Edward Dowd, D-O-W-D, probably some of the most reliable figures out there. And sure enough, I put it on my Twitter, on Permapastures Farm Twitter account, what his numbers were. And he was talking about the worldwide numbers. And here it is, anywhere between 1.3 to 1.4 billion killed because of these jabs. I got that backwards. 7 to 15 million dead worldwide. And in some figures, he went on to say that in some figures, other people have estimated anywhere between 17 million, between 29 to 60 million disabled. Permanently disabled, and between 500 to 900 million injured. And these things were not only on the market, but still out there. I mean, they were jabbing What did Dr. Jack Cruz say? Somewhere, what, 50,000 children a day or five? I don't remember what those numbers were, but it's insanity. So when I consider all these things that are happening, look, I am done caring about what the algorithms think. I'm done caring about what anybody thinks about me. I'm going to tell you the truth the way I see it. And if anybody ever wants to argue or debate me any day of the week, because I'm not coming out here half-cocked and I'm not giving you numbers that I haven't thoroughly examined, and I'm not giving you information that I haven't looked in to a deep degree as well. So I'm sitting here thinking, let me take calculus of this. And if you spend too much time thinking about it, you can drive yourself crazy. I'm thinking, okay, let's count all the vectors in which they're poisoning us. And then if you look at the latest thing, I'm not even going to get into that one, where they're looking to put mRNA on crops now. Okay, so they're dropping it from the sky. And yes, they can control the weather. Yes, they've had that since Operation Popeye, actually, all the way back to Operation Sear. Like Jack Cruz says, don't tell me it's a conspiracy theory when there are patents on it, okay? So everybody telling you they can't do it is woefully misinformed. But just like in that North Carolina thing, they're dropping poison in there along with whatever they wrap up into these storms, okay? So let's get there. Okay, they're also damaging us through the Wi-Fi. And if you read this book, this is one of many, by Dr. Robert O. Becker. The guy was so awesome, he actually grew back the limb, showed that, you know, using the right stuff, you could actually grow back limbs. But he was canceled once he went on 60 Minutes back in 1969, I believe. 1969 on 60 Minutes, and told Mike Wallace that these power lines, the EMFs and all these things were incredibly deleterious to human health. Okay, so they're getting you there. So 1G was bad enough. 2G was really bad. 3G, now here we are on 5G and working on 6G. Do you think there may be some consequences there? So they're getting you there. Let me talk about the other thing that nobody wants to talk about, and this is part of what I wanted Logan to get into. And it's the reason why I'm wearing these glasses right now. It's the blue light toxicity. The only time in nature you get blue light is midday sun. Okay? Midday sun, that's the only time you see it. It's the rarest color in nature. It really is. So, why on earth did they design every iPhone, every Samsung phone, every single phone? You can't get a computer on the market that isn't blue light toxic. There's only one, and it's called daylight computer, where there's no blue light in it, even though they knew the damage that blue light would have. So that's another little vector. It's in all the food you eat. You know, you go out there, you buy a candy bar off the shelf. Okay, you already know that's bad. But when you go in there and buy a steak from, I don't know, the Piggly Wiggly, you're not thinking that's bad. But now we're finding out that they're wanting to shoot up mRNA and all those guys as well. Everything off the shelf. I mean, folks, they're getting you 30 ways to Sunday. So I'm like, okay, with all these different things flying at us, the water, the air, and yes, it's in the water, the fluoride in the water. Why do you think they had it in Dachau and all the other camps out there? Why do you think, read the read A Day in the Life of Ivan Dasonovich Shukov. And it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn that wrote that. Okay. Read that and look at what they put in the water back there in the gulags in Russia. You want to know what it was, son? You want to take a wild guess what that might have been?
Was it fluoride?
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, you won the prize, buddy. Yeah. So it's in your water. It's everywhere, folks. So this is why I feel like, I mean, you're probably, a lot of people are saying, well, man, why do you keep having these health experts on here? Because, folks, we have, look, the powers that shouldn't be are doing everything they possibly can to get rid of us. In fact, they are doing what's called tapering a Ponzi scheme, which is basically this is how they're going about it. You know what? If you can wipe out all these people or get them to commit protracted death in some way or another, guess what? The pharmaceutical companies get richer. And if these people wind up dying early or anything like it, well, then guess what? That's Social Security we don't have to pay for. So, and then everybody all the way up in the top is in on it. So, folks, this is why we have got This is why I'm talking about this stuff so much. I know I'm going a little bit darker, but I got to be able to. Days of darkness are the only way to make you see the light. With all the things they're doing to us, we have got to be looking for every single way humanly possible to mitigate what they are doing. So let's say you're here, but are you healthy? Do you feel good? Are you happy? Do you have brain fog? Do you have all those things? I mean, with all the stuff they're doing, man, it's a wonder. They're probably wondering and amazed at how hard we are to kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you think, like, I mean, there's not a single vector I talked about. Food, water, air, every, the most basic fundamental things you need. That's where they're, that's exactly the things they're attacking. Even the light.
They probably are thinking like, man, we're hitting them with everything. Everything we have, we're hitting them. And they're still not dying the way we want. And we know we're not dying the way they want because they keep coming out with new things. Keep coming out with like the packet with the packet that I have talking about the next wave of chemicals that they're going to be using. It's because the existing chemicals aren't having the full effect that they're expecting or the effect that they're wanting. If we were dying at the rate that they thought was appropriate, then they probably wouldn't be inventing new ways to kill us. They'd probably just stay on course, which isn't an excuse to not get healthy because your body can handle it. That's not what I'm meaning, by the way.
Well, let's just talk about a few simple steps. I mean, especially on a homestead or wherever you may find yourself, that will make a difference in your life. Like right now, I'm in the studio. I'm being surrounded by, well, to a certain extent, full spectrum lights, but there's a lot of blue in there as well. You know what I could do? And I got it downstairs and I didn't bring it up here with me, and I meant to, is offset that blue with red and infrared light. That's the only thing in nature. You will never find a single spectrum coming out at you. There's always a full spectrum. So I could offset what's in here by having a red light right here on this desk. Okay, I didn't do it today, but I should have. It's things like that. Wearing these blue light blockers. And folks, I got this. I was trying to figure out, well, how do I do this for a TV? Because this, your body absorbs that blue light on your skin. These receptors are everywhere on your body. They're in your arteries. They're in your brain. They're on your skin. They're everywhere. So you got to find ways to mitigate those things. I meant to bring it up with me, and I had been looking, you can ask your mom, son, for months trying to find something to block off. Like if you wanted to watch a little TV or whatever, or watch a movie or something, I'm like, okay, yeah. You got the glasses on, but your body's still getting hit. Well, I come up with a way to mitigate that, and it was cheaper than all the other options that I came up out there. There's basically this red film that I meant to bring up here with me to show everybody, like something of a show and tell. I forgot to do a lot of things, actually, on the way up here. So doing the little things like getting rid of those bulbs. Okay, let me tell you something. Back when Obama was in, when they got rid of the incandescent bulb, anybody that had any sense, I mean, nobody else, I was already conspiratorially minded back then. I was like, this makes no sense. If you do an audit on anybody's house, the light bulbs are the ones that are least problematic. Your biggest area is going to be your heating and cooling by far. Your stove, your dryer, your thing like that. The light bulbs didn't make any sense. And then all these years later, when I found out why they did it, is because all of those compact fluorescent bulbs and all the rest of them are all blue light. You're not getting full spectrum like you get in an incandescent bulb. So there's another little hack you can do. And then honestly, put things on dimmers if you can, or use candlelight. That's actually one of your best options at night. So wearing these blue block, I mean, if you have screen filters, if you got to work on a computer, they got, you know, Night Shift, F-Flux. There's another one called Iris out there. I just don't use it. Use low light. I mean, these are like the triple thing for your phone. That's another good thing right there. Look, folks, grounding. A lot of you may work in an office environment. Okay. Let's say you're a teacher and you're at your desk. Is there any reason you can't teach barefoot and stand on a mat? I don't care if you got to get 5 mats and then hang their little ground rod out the window. Okay, those little hellions you got sitting in that classroom or whatever the case may be. There was a experiment they did, the Sarasota School Experiment. And all they did, this was years ago, Fritz Popp was the one who made this documentary, and you can still find it on YouTube, called the Sarasota School Experiment. All they did, they had the regular lights on in the classroom, okay? And most classrooms are built like prisons anyway. They may have windows over there, but they never open them. So they do the experiment. They're showing all these kids that are, I mean, a bunch of little hellcats, man, just running crazy in this room. They turn the lights off the following day, open the windows, and let natural light come in. The behavior of those kids was 180 degrees different, showing that those lights, even back then, and that was in the late 60s that they recorded that, made all the difference in the world. So your body isn't even at all accustomed to this stuff. So here's another thing, grounding, you know, as often as you possibly can. There is a hack. I don't care if I guarantee you, if somebody said, okay, hey, we got you in a 50-story skyscraper, okay, first of all, I wouldn't find myself in something like that. But if you did, there's always a way you can take one of these grounding cords from Redemption Shield, throw it out the window and put it in the ground, get yourself grounded, even if you got to be in those environments. Offset it with some red light. I just told you about that one. So at least try to get 20 to 40 minutes of grounding a day. That's some of the, you know, some of the people I trust, that's what they recommend. But get more. They make these grounding straps that you can put on your shoes. It's called Earth, spelled E-R-T-H-E, Earth straps. Every piece of footwear, if you see me wearing it, I guarantee I got them straps on there. And I'm grounded. I'm G'd up from the feet up, y'all, no matter what. If I got to wear shoes, that's exactly what, and they're barefoot shoes. So I ground myself through the outside of the shoe. It's not that doggone difficult. Things, and I'll be honest with you, one of the biggest game changers out there, and nobody, very few people want to talk about it. And once I learned about it from Logan and people like Dr. Cruz, and Logan was on the show, if you don't see that morning sunrise, you're already screwed. I'm dead serious, folks. If you don't get that morning sun, you can't make the TCA cycle work in your body. All the rest of everything I'm telling you doesn't really work unless you get up and see that sunrise. Now, when I say the sunrise, I mean, you want to be there before it goes to the high UV spectrum, okay? You want to get that early morning sunshine, even if it's behind clouds, because it's going into your eye, hitting the back, that anterior pituitary, and it's telling your circadian body, okay, it's time to move now. It's time to get going. Believe it or not, that is when you start making melatonin. They don't tell you that. I mean, these are all things that I've recently learned, and I'm telling you about it. But if you don't get that right, really all the rest of it doesn't even matter. So I haven't missed a sunrise since learning any of this stuff. So that morning sun exposure, that is critical. And then depending on your health concerns, you're going to want to see the sun set as well. And you want to look directly at it.
Hey, real quick, Dad. The Farmhouse Quiltery asks, William or Billy, do you know anything about structured water? I'm hearing more about that lately. I know you. I don't know a whole lot. I remember when I was back at Earthship internship, the lady who was managing the greenhouses on all the rentals, she was talking about restructuring water and putting seeds in your mouth before planting. But I hadn't heard anything about it since, and she didn't go into a whole lot of detail, just saying like, hey, there's these things you can put on your spigots to restructure it before you actually water your plants and you'll get better results.
Yeah. As far as the structure and the watering, there's the problem with figuring out the right way of doing that is I haven't found a method yet. Now I'm working on one right now where my buddy EJ sent me some information on this. There seem to be people that talk about it. Now the deuterium content in your water is very, very important. Now I don't want to go too sideways here, but I'm still working on trying to figure out a protocol that really works. Now that one that I'm working on right now, as far as the structuring the water, you're basically taking well water, whatever, or actually you want to get, I'll give you the process, but I don't yet know because I haven't yet fully worked it all out yet. So what you want to do is get some well water or distilled water, and you're going to want to freeze it to the point where it's just frozen on top. Then you're going to poke a hole in it, pour that water out, and from there you go through a series of other things. And then before you structure it, some people say just by being able to make a vortex out of it, you're structuring. Some people say other things. Some say it's got to be done in copper. So I haven't done the research fully on that, or at least I've done the research. I haven't yet done the experimentation on it yet to find out exactly where we go on this stuff. But you know what? People like Victor Schauberger realized that water in nature is almost always moving, okay? Water in nature is moving. So if you can somehow replicate that, and some people use copper urns where they have little, you know, where it just doesn't pour out. It makes little spirals. You know, water never flows in a straight line like it does in our pipes. So those are things that I'm trying to work on right now and, you know, get squared away. So I'll let you know as soon as I get on there. Here's another one. And man, it is a big time game changer, especially for those of you that may be dealing with anxiety issues or anything else. I don't care what you're dealing with or not dealing with. It's always great to have a great breath work plan. You can do Wim Hof if you want to. I'm using Erwin LaCour's method. It was the guy that Dr. Jack Cruz recommended. And it's called Breath Hold Work, breathholdwork.com. And I'm going through his course right now. And it's basically on a single breath, how long can you hold it? And there's massive benefits to doing all this sort of thing. And if you can do it while grounded, and better still, if you can do it while grounded, while being in the sunlight, I do it every single day. So if you can stack functions on these things, if you can take your bare feet, touch the ground, do your deep breathing at the same time, and if you're able, take off your shirt, especially, believe it or not, for you women out there, it's kind of important for you to have sunlight on your female parts as well. Believe me, I'm hanging out with my junk out every morning out there in the sun. Getting it. Well, look, I don't even care, man. I mean, honestly, when I consider all the, and then my impetus for doing all this is all the poison that they are trying to drop into us. So hydration hacks, man, that's important. You know, I mean, I drink a gallon and a half of water every single day. I take in a lot of salt every single day. That's the polar opposite of what they tell me. I've taken at least 2 whole teaspoons of salt in addition to what I'm having. Okay. I'm doing the polar opposite of everything the mainstream medical model tells me to do. And I am absolutely feeling light years better with it. So sunlight exposure, morning, doing it while grounded is even better. Morning sunlight. If you don't get anything else, man, you got to get that. Get it through the midday, despite what they tell you. I mean, you need that UV in order to make, you can't make vitamin D without it. And I stopped supplementing altogether with vitamin D when I found out the junk they put in it. And it's nowhere close to the stuff that your body makes endogenously. Now, there are, I bought a light that I have yet to try. It just came in the mail because I'm thinking of all these days when they're blocking out the sun and I can't get any, especially in the winter, what am I going to do? So I'm kind of getting ahead of that right now. So it's called a Spurty lamp. I'll let you know how that works. I bought one, and these things ain't cheap, but honestly, it's cheaper than going to the doctor. So I'm going to figure out if this thing works. And if it does, I'll let you know about that too. And if it works well enough, maybe I'll reach out to them, see if they can't get a deal on for everybody who wants one. But, and you know, it may be just absolutely too cold out there to stand out there for any period of time. I didn't even get into a lot of the other stuff like cold therapy and, you know, cold baths and all that sort of thing. I mean, there's so many different ways we can go out here to create better health for ourselves, folks. But look, I didn't give you all that bad news in the beginning of it just to give you bad news. I'm trying to give you solutions that I'm finding out that I'm using that are working out for me. Eating in accordance to the seasons, starting to make more sense. Logan was on here talking about that and how everything you eat has a electromagnetic barcode on it. So if you live in the middle of Kansas, should you be eating bananas if they didn't grow there? I mean, doubtful.
Well, also, it makes me rethink microwaving and stuff like that. If everything has electromagnetic barcode, then what the heck is going on inside of a microwave?
I'll tell you right now, it's why the microwave we have, I mean, it's part of the house. I mean, it sits above the stove. It has not been used. I have not used that thing for a year. Maybe more. I don't use it for anything. Number one, when I'm sitting over here with my EMF meter and I put that microwave on, I don't care what they tell you, how well it's shielded. It's leaking out of there because I'm detecting it. I'm getting all of it. I'm getting the EMF. I'm getting the magnetism. I'm getting all of it. So that's number one. Number two, what it's doing is it's vibrating the water molecules in your food. and it's not food anymore. It's dead food. I literally put everything that if I'm going to reeat, like I said, folks, we don't waste nothing. Your mom makes enough to feed the platoon half the time. So that means I'm going to be eating it for a while. And just like tonight, she made these meatballs the other day and put, you know, it was meat that was here. It was sauce that I made here. Had to heat them up. What do, man? The old fashioned way before we had microwaves, man, we put it in the oven or put it on the stovetop. That's exactly what we did. I did it tonight. I do it every single day when it's time to heat something up. The microwave does not get used. It's the one of the worst things you can do in terms of not only the health of the people around you, and the closer you are, the worse it is. It really is. I would rather eat food cold than stick it in a microwave these days. I'm dead serious. I will not eat anything that comes out of a microwave. So yeah, yes, and your intuition serves you well because, yeah, all you're doing is vibrating the water molecules and you're destroying any life that may have been in that food. I got a brother who would, you would sit here and cook the food. Remember him, son?
Oh, yeah.
In a microwave for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you just got done, like it could, the steak could come from the grill onto the plate, handed it to him right there. Didn't even go through a rest cycle. And he would throw it right into the microwave.
I've never seen anything like it. It was like, you know, he has zero gut biome, and judging by his behavior, he behaves that way. Like Mountainside with Ken and Amy said, go subscribe over there. Check them out, folks. Like they said, we removed the microwave almost a year ago. I would remove mine, but it's like part of the, you know, it's kind of built into things. So
yeah. You're going to have a hole and some dangling wires.
The only thing that thing is good for is that the little night light on it every once in a while if you need it, but outside of that, I mean, it's just not being used. Folks, that's one of the quickest ways. Look, I didn't mean for this program to go this doggone long, but look, folks, there are so many. I proved it to you. And I trust me, I didn't even do any. I just gave you about 1% of what I know of what they're doing in terms of toxins. I'm dead serious. That's just 1%. I'm not saying this to freak you out. I'm saying that your body has an enormous capacity to heal and regenerate. It really does. But you got to give it the right tools. And everything they're doing to us, whether it's the blue light you're watching this video on. So as soon as we're done with this video, go figure out how to turn your phone or your computer onto red only, where it's not putting out any blue light. Yeah, it takes a little getting used to, but hey, I'll do what I got to do, man. When it comes to, you know, beating all this, I'm not going to make it easy for them. I'll put it that way.
Get some of these glasses too. Midwest light, red light therapy. That's what Dad sent over to us. The baby loves them. She always like runs over to her glasses and like points to them and is like, glasses. Like she loves wearing that. She loves her little fashion statement made with her red light glasses and stuff like that. But yeah, Midwest red light therapy. They sell some glasses for, I mean, and they work pretty doggone well.
They even have clip-ons for people that wear prescription glasses and stuff like that too. So, yeah, I was gonna, you know, give them a shot and try it out and see if these folks will give y'all a deal. But anyway, that's some of the stuff we're doing, folks. And I'm practicing what I preach. I'm not saying I get it all perfectly because I'm about to put a hurt on a pie tomorrow. But, you know, we don't do it every day. But the point being is that with all the junk they're throwing out of us, and folks, it's only going to get worse. So we got to have ways to mitigate as much of this as we possibly can. Sorry, I forgot to bring up the stuff that I put over the TV, but man, it works like nothing I've ever seen before. Because the reason you can tell whether or not you're getting blue light, by the way, y'all, I know I got to leave you with this one. So if you have your red blue light blocker glasses on, okay, if you look at a light and then put your blue light blockers on, if the hue of that light changes, there's blue light in it. And there's green in there too, because he's blocked blue and green. So if something tells you it blocks blue light and it changes at all when you put these on there, it's not working. And folks, if you only knew how many ripoffs I've been through in the market that they have out there, I mean, there are so many, and I can't stand being robbed as a consumer. There are so many out there where they're sitting here lying to you, telling you, oh, this blocks blue light, or it does this, it does that. No, it doesn't. So I'm going to try to let you know what these are, but I did find a very inexpensive way of blocking. Like if you want to watch some TV or something, and you don't want to put these on. Look, I just got the TV wrapped up in this red, It looks a little bit ghetto out there, but hey, at the end of the day, man, it's all, you know, if I want to watch a series, if I want to watch Arrow or something, you know, at least I can do it. All right. This thing's gone quite a while. Want to give a hat tip to Renewed Homestead as always out there. You know, make sure everything's cool in the chat. I want to thank everybody that checked us out today. Son, anything else to add?
Yeah, like Bill Mollison said a while back, even though the problems become increasingly more complicated, the solutions are shockingly simple. Like, Dad didn't give any complex solutions or anything like that. It's go outside, look at the sun, bare feet on the ground, and that's the majority of the health tips.
That's what I'm talking about. Man, I want to throw a barefoot party one of these days if I ever get 2 minutes to rub together. All right, y'all. I want to thank everybody for checking us out. It's been a joy as always. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to the harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the fire and thrive.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.